Senate. The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Your discretion is advised.
Wanna take a ride? Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades in the intellectual wilderness of South Lauderdale, the outer regions of humanity that people move to just because it doesn't snow. This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, welcome to a... What day is today? It's Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. And yes, the impeachment hearings are back on. They have moved to the House Judiciary Committee, where the articles of impeachment will be written. They are currently in the five-minute questioning round. This thing is going to go on for like another 3 hours because there are 41 members, if I have my math correct, of the Judiciary Committee, as opposed to the Intelligence Committee with about half that many. So what we'll do, here's what's going to happen today. I will bring up the sound of the hearing in just a moment. I understand Tom Hartman's show got taken down from YouTube, I guess because he was running the hearing. I don't know. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, Steve Cohen of Tennessee, it's his turn now. He's asking his five-minute rounds of questioning. Rather than just play the whole thing today, at about the halfway mark, in about 30 minutes or so, we'll stop listening to the feed. We'll still monitor it, and if something earth-shattering happens, I can bring it back up. But we're going to check in with David Bender to sort of get his take on all that's going on. David Bender, for those of you who maybe don't remember, he is the political director at the Progressive Voices Network. He was the political director of Air America Radio. So anyway, he'll join us a little later on. Let's go now back to the testimony going on now, where Steve Cohen of Tennessee is questioning the witnesses. The witnesses today are all law professors.
To advance his personal interests.
This guy's pretty good. His name is Noah Feldman of Harvard.
Potentially to corrupt the electoral process, and potentially as well against the national security interests of the United States. I would add, sir, that the word high modifies both crimes and misdemeanors. The framers' world knew of both high crimes and high misdemeanors. And I believe that the definition that was posted earlier of misdemeanor was not the definition of high misdemeanor,
okay,
which is a specific term understood by the framers and discussed in the Constitutional Convention, but only of the word misdemeanor. And that's an easy mistake to make, but the truth is that high misdemeanors were their own category of abuses of office, and those are the things that are impeachable.
Thank you, Professor. Professors Feldman, Carlin, and Gerhardt, you've all testified the president's conduct here implicates three categories of high crimes and misdemeanors: abuse of power.
Boy, Jonathan Turley jumped the shark. I don't know what happened to him. This woman is great, Professor Carlin.
And Professor Feldman and Professor Gerhardt, do you agree?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Professor Carlin, you stated that the essence of an impeachable offense is the president's decision to sacrifice the national interest for his own private ends. Professor Feldman and Gerhardt, do y'all also agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Based on the evidence you've seen, Professors Feldman, Carlin, and Gerhardt, has President Trump sacrificed the country's interest in favor of his own? Professor Carlin?
Yes, he has.
And is there a particular piece of evidence that most illuminates that?
I think what illuminates that most for me is the statement by Ambassador Sondland that he wanted simply the announcement of an investigation. And several other people said exactly the same thing. There's testimony by Ambassador Volker to this extent as well, that what he wanted was simply public information to damage Joe Biden. He didn't care whether at the end of the day Joe Biden was found guilty or exonerated.
And Professor Feldman, do you agree, or do you have a different or the same illuminating fact?
My emphasis would be on the fact that the president held up aid to an ally that's fighting a war in direct contravention of the unanimous recommendation of the national security community. That, to me, seems to have placed his own interests in personal advantage ahead of the interests of the nation.
And a bill passed by Congress, bipartisan.
Yes, sir.
Professor Gerhardt?
I agree with what my colleagues have said. I would add that I'm very concerned about the president's obstruction of Congress. obstruction of this inquiry, refusal to comply with this is, number of subpoenas ordering many
Gerhart
high-level
from
officials
University
in the government
of
not
North
to comply
Carolina
with subpoenas
law.
And asking and ordering the entire executive branch not to cooperate with Congress. It's useful to remember the Constitution says the House has the sole power to impeach. The Constitution only uses the word sole twice, once with reference to the House in this area, once with reference to the Senate with respect to impeachment trials. Sole, means only. And this is your decision.
And let me get Professor Turley into this. Professor Turley, you're a self-described, self-anointed defender of Article I Congress guy. But you justify a position that says legally issued subpoenas by Congress enforcing its powers don't have to be complied with. It seems in this circumstance, you're an Article II executive guy. You're talking about the Johnson impeachment is not very useful. That was maladministration. This is a criminal act. Uh-huh. Thank you, professors, for helping us understand.
Oh, I'm glad he didn't even ask Turley a question. He just sort of chastised him.
The people's House are heirs and custodians of the founders' vision as a country where the people are sovereign. We have a high responsibility and charged with the sole power to uphold our Constitution and defend our democracy, and we shall do that.
All right.
The gentleman's time has expired. Mr. Gohmert.
Hey, Louis Louis Gohmert. Maybe someone's going to cast aspersions on his asparagus.
The indecency to which we've come. When instead of the committee of jurisdiction bringing in facts witnesses to get to the bottom of what happened.
How soon till he says his first really stupid thing?
To review the
report, I give it 30 seconds.
Which, as Professor Turley indicated, is wafer thin when compared to the 36 boxes of documents that were delivered to the last
impeachment. It's a report, you moron. Group.
But then to start this hearing with the chairman of the committee saying that the facts are undisputed.
They are.
The only thing that is disputed more than the facts in this case is the statement that the facts are undisputed. They are absolutely disputed.
No.
And the evidence is a bunch of hearsay on hearsay.
No, that's
that
not true.
Anybody
oh, my God, these people just make
before,
shit up as they go along.
Of enough magnitude, you would know you can't rely on hearsay on hearsay.
It's
but
not hearsay.
We have experts
it's
who
a,
know better than
not a
the
transcript.
Accumulated experience of the ages. So here we are.
Okay.
And I would submit
come on,
we
cast
need
aspersions
some factual
on asparagus,
witnesses.
Louis.
We do not need to receive a report that we don't have a chance to read before this hearing. We need a chance to bring in actual fact witnesses. And there are a couple I can name that are critical to us getting to the bottom. They work for the National Security Council. Abigail Grace, Sean Miskow, they were involved in the U.S.-Ukraine affairs.
When the Republicans run the trial in the Senate, they can bring in whatever witnesses they want.
Masters. They have absolutely critical information about certain Ukrainians involved.
Sorry, I
got to
bring him down.
Election.
He just hurts my ears.
Their relationships with the witnesses who went before the Intel Committee and others involved in these allegations make them the most critical witnesses in this entire investigation. And their records, including their emails and text messages,
this is terribly boring. But, you know, I could do
the president
is while Louis Gohmert is droning on, we could do what's news.
From October 11th, Kerry Pickett.
What do you think, chatters? I'll defer to the chatters. Should we do what's news or turn off Gohmert? All right, here's what we're going to do. While Gohmert is rambling on, I will give you today's what's news. Give me one second. I've got to get back to the correct screen. But okay, so sorry, Louis Gohmert. Just can't do you anymore. Oh man, I've got to mute that screen. Oh, I got too many things going on here. Okay, mute that. And now, instead of Louis Gohmert, here's what's news.
I read the news today. Oh boy!
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Phase 2 of the impeachment inquiry begins Wednesday morning at 10 Eastern when the
already
House
began.
Judiciary Committee convenes its first hearing following the release of the Intelligence Committee's report. Although it will be academic, featuring law professors testifying about the roots of impeachment and its historical context,
The Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, led by Ranking Member Doug Collins of Georgia, have vowed to use procedural tactics and more to slow down the proceedings. Jerry Nadler, the chair of the committee, privately addressed Democrats Tuesday morning, where he reportedly proclaimed, quote, "I'm not going to take any shit." Now, about that 300-page report released Tuesday by Adam Schiff's Intelligence Committee, in addition to laying out its case that Trump abused his power and obstructed justice in his Ukraine dealings, the report calls the evidence overwhelming and also includes some new information, like phone records that detail at least half a dozen calls between Rudy Giuliani and the White House Office of Management and Budget. Meanwhile, the president is still in London for the NATO summit, where he continues making an ass of himself on the world stage. Washington Post reporting, quote, "On the first day of the NATO 70th anniversary summit in London, Trump pronounced, prodded, and pushed America's allies into a state of unbalance, seizing the global stage to both bully and banter, all while keeping himself at the center of attention. Over the course of three one-on-one meetings with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, Emmanuel Macron, and Justin Trudeau, Trump turned what were expected to be brief photo opportunities into his own personal daytime cable show. As the other leaders largely bore witness, the U.S. president, frequently affable, occasionally bored, held forth for a collective 2 hours, fielding questions on topics ranging from the impeachment investigation he left at home to the British election campaign he flew into here. A video posted by Ian Bremmer is making the social media rounds, in which Boris Johnson, Emmanuel Macron, and Justin Trudeau are caught on camera mocking Donald Trump at a Buckingham Palace reception. At a joint press spray Wednesday morning with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, Trump was asked if he had any response to the video. He replied by canceling his planned press conference on the schedule for Wednesday afternoon. Oh, and he called Trudeau a name.
Did you have a video of Prime Minister Trudeau talking about you last night?
Well, he's two-faced.
He's two-faced.
And honestly, with Trudeau, he's a nice guy. I find him to be a very nice guy. But, you know,
but
the
he's two-faced.
I called him out on the fact that he's not paying 2%, and I guess he's not very happy about it.
Trump heads back to D.C. Wednesday afternoon. That means he's not joining the 25,000 people from 200 countries in Madrid this week for the COP25 climate change conference, where over the next 2 weeks, global leaders will try to come up with a practical plan for cutting emissions to stem the threat of global warming. But never fear. Trump says climate change is very important to him. At one of his ridiculous press events at the NATO summit, the Washington Post's Philip Rucker asked whether he was thinking about climate change, and this was his actual answer.
Honestly, climate change is very important to me. And, you know, I've done many environmental impact statements over my life, and I believe very strongly in very, very crystal clear, clean water. And clean air. That's a big part of climate change. I also see what's happening with our oceans, where certain countries are dumping unlimited loads of things in, and they float. They tend to float toward the United States. I see that happening.
Oh, my God, he's such an idiot.
Nobody like it, and it's gotten worse. But, no, it's very important to me also. But I want clean air and clean water.
Clean air and clean water.
Number one and number two. Right.
A federal appeals court in New York ruled Tuesday that Deutsche Bank must give documents on Trump's finances to two House committees. The decision marked the latest in a string of court defeats for Trump in cases involving his tax returns and other financial documents. Trump's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, called the congressional subpoenas issued to Deutsche Bank and Capital One invalid and said, quote, "We are evaluating our next options, including seeking review at the Supreme Court of the United States." Trump now has 7 days to ask the Supreme Court to put a hold on the ruling before the banks have to respond. Kamala Harris is out. The California senator officially ended her 2020 presidential campaign Tuesday, citing a lack of financial resources and stagnant poll numbers. With Harris out, only 6 Democrats have qualified for a spot on December's debate stage, and they're all white. Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Tom Steyer will debate on December 12th. And finally, their cruelty knows no bounds. The Trump administration is expected to announce a plan Wednesday to end food stamp benefits for about 750,000 Americans, issuing a new regulation that makes it harder for states to gain waivers from a requirement that beneficiaries work or participate in a vocational training program. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, so I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Please click on that donate button. All right, I'm back. So what's news ran longer than Louis Gohmert, so the questioning is back in Democratic hands now. And let's see if I can... Damn it. Trying to navigate this with muting sites. Okay, here we go. We'll go back to the testimony with Congressman Johnson of Georgia. I don't know who it is.
And the 2016 election.
Questioning Professor Carlin.
Why your testimony concluded that the president abused his power?
I thought the president abused his power by asking for a criminal investigation of a United States citizen for political ends, regardless of everything else. That's just, it's not icing on the cake. It's what you would call
this
an
woman is
aggravating
so good.
Circumstance that there was need here.
All right. Thank you. A president holding an American ally over a barrel to extract personal favors is deeply troubling.
You think?
This is not a impulse buy moment. It's a break the glass moment, and impeachment is the only appropriate remedy. And with that, I will yield back.
Oh, no.
General right. yields back, Mr. It's, Jordan.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Mr.
Jim
Chairman.
Jordan.
Before Speaker Pelosi
Gymnasium
announced the impeachment,
Jordan is on this committee, too? Oy, let's see how long we can stand
before
him.
The call between President Trump
When's
and President
Zelensky yelling?
On July 25th.
Come on, Jim, yell.
Before the Mueller hearing in front of this committee on July 24th.
Yeah.
Before all that, 16 of them had already voted to move forward on impeachment.
No, they hadn't.
16 Democrats on the Judiciary Committee had already voted to move forward on impeachment, yet today, we're talking about whether the positions they've already taken are constitutional.
You know what? While Jim Jordan is doing this, what we'll do is something else. We will revert to some earlier testimony. Marie Yovanovitch, remember her? Because I just can't listen to Jim Jordan. So Marie Yovanovitch, Masha to her friends, was the first witness who came on a couple of weeks ago and blew us all away. Well, she showed up at a jazz club in Washington, D.C., the day after, I think, her testimony concluded, and she got a standing ovation. So Stephen Colbert did a little salute to Marie Yovanovitch. In a bit, here we go.
Yovanovitch's testimony at the impeachment hearing, during which the president attacked her via tweet, the former ambassador got an impromptu standing ovation at a D.C. area jazz club.
Yes, she did.
Thank you so much.
The Late Show has acquired all the jazz club footage.
Not really.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest joining us tonight here at the Blues Alley Jazz Club.
All right.
Please enjoy the vocal stylings of former Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch.
Our Ukraine policy has been thrown into disarray.
It is jazz. It's beautiful jazz.
I do not understand Mr. Giuliani's motives for attacking me. I stated that clearly.
Yeah?
I stated that clearly. How could our system fail like this? It's very intimidating.
Wait a minute. President Trump just tweeted at you. Every jazz club Marie Yovanovitch goes to turns bad.
Oy.
What a jerk.
He is.
All right. Thank you, Stephen Colbert. So there's that. All right, Jim Jordan is still talking. Let's hear what nonsense he's spewing now.
55 days that the aid was paused.
Well, we killed 2 minutes of it anyway.
Key meetings between President Zelensky and senior officials in our government. Five key meetings.
Okay.
We had the call on July 25th, very next day, July 26th. We had Ambassador Volker Taylor and Sondland meet with President Zelensky in Kyiv. We then had Ambassador Bolton end of August meet with President Zelensky. We then had the Vice President
meet
with President
Zelensky. Is there a question here, Mr. Gymnasium?
We had two senators, Republican and, more importantly, Democrat Senator Murphy with Republican Senator Johnson meet with President Zelensky on September 5th. None of those five meetings.
Is your time up
yet? None of those five meetings was aid ever discussed in exchange for an announcement of an investigation into anybody.
Okay,
not
your time's up.
And you would think the last two, after the Ukrainians did know the aid was being held, you would think it would come up then. Particularly the one where you
Let's see, what else can we do? I know I have another Lauren Mayer song parody. Because I can't listen to Jim Jordan. I'm sorry. So let's do this. You know Lauren Mayer, right? Lauren Mayer does these wonderful song parodies. Well, her latest one has to do with the hearings, the fact that it's the hearings, and it's, well, that time of year again. Take it away. I need to mute this first. All right. Take it away, Lauren Mayer.
Ain't it a glorious day? Impeachment is well underway. I feel a certain thrill. Some witnesses we've had have made me glad, but none like Dr. Hill.
Oh, we love Fiona Hill.
Oh, it's a jolly hearing with Fiona. She defied their badgering, replying with a firm yet patient tone. Ah, could I actually say something? Commencing with her great opening statement, she made it clear nonpartisan is she.
Ah, now Ted Deutch is questioning. All right, we'll be with him in a moment.
Made a hit by proving Devin Nunez is a twit. The damning testimony from Fiona has totally freaked out the GOP. Handling with aplomb this whole inquiry by simply stating what is true. Answers that were calm yet also fiery, and with a charming accent too. She said women's anger's not appreciated. She certainly knows what she's speaking of. With expertise and guts, she showed those nuts behave like Putin's useful idiots. Against false narratives full of bologna, she gave right-wing conspiracies a shove. Republicans are no match for Fiona. No wonder that it's Dr. Hill we love.
Ah, yay! Lauren Mayer, everybody. Hold on, I was going to do some applause. Yes! Okay, so Lauren Mayer, everyone. All right, so back to the testimony where my congressman, Ted Deutch, is now asking the question. So let's hear what he has to say. Okay.
How would the framers of the Constitution have viewed a president asking for election interference from a foreign leader?
It's you know, practically impossible to know exactly what the framers would think, but it's not hard to imagine how the Constitution deals with it. That's their legacy to us. And under the Constitution, it's plainly an abuse of power. It's a rather horrifying abuse of power.
Professor Carlin, we've heard witnesses over the past several weeks testify about their concerns when the president used his foreign policy powers for political gain. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman was shocked. He couldn't believe what he heard on the phone call. NSC advisor Hill realized that a political errand was diverging from efforts to protect our national security policy. And Ambassador Taylor thought it was crazy to withhold security assistance for help on a political campaign.
Well, it was.
Professor Carlin, these concerns aren't mere differences over policy, are they?
No, they go to the foundation, the very foundation of our democracy.
And offering to exchange a White House meeting and hundreds of millions of dollars in security assistance for help with his reelection, that can't be part of our nation's foreign policy, can it?
No, it's the essence of doing something for personal reasons rather than for political reasons. And if I could just say one thing about this very briefly, which is maybe when he was first running for president, he had never been anything other than a reality TV show. That was his public life. Maybe then he could think, Russia, if you're listening, is an okay thing to do. But by the time he asked the Ukraine, if you're listening, could you help me out with my reelection? He has to have known that that was not something consistent with his oath of office.
You think?
Mr. Chairman, our founders granted the President of the United States enormous powers. But at the same time, what we've been reminded of today, they worry that these powers could be abused by a corrupt president.
And they
are. The evidence of abuse of power in this inquiry proved that our founders were right to be worried. Yes, yes, the president has the power to direct America's foreign policy. But no, he cannot use that power to cheat in our elections.
But he does.
Remember, and I ask all of my colleagues to remember, the Constitution grants the president his power through the American people. The president's source of power is a democratic election. It is the American people, the voters, who trusted him to look out for them. We trusted him to look out for the country. But instead, President Trump looked out for himself in helping himself get reelected. He abused the power that we trusted him with for personal and political gain.
I didn't trust
him
with anything.
The founders worried about just this type of abuse of power.
Yep.
And they provided one way for Congress to respond.
Impeach the motherfucker.
And that's the power of impeachment.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah. So, okay. So that was
Jim,
Ted Deutsch, my
back,
congressman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, who is
Professor
this?
Professor Turley, I want to direct these first few questions
I think he's
to
from
you.
Georgia. Let's see if they tell us.
Other three
Colorado,
witnesses have
close.
Identified this amorphous standard for impeaching a president. They've said that if a president abuses his power for personal or political gain, it's impeachable conduct. You
yeah.
agree with me?
Yeah.
Not the way it's been stated. In fact, there's so many different standards.
What happened? What happened to Jonathan Turley?
So many different standards. One of them was attempting to abuse office.
Okay.
I'm not even sure how to recognize that, let alone define it.
So let me go with a few examples and see if you agree with me. Lyndon Johnson directed the Central Intelligence Agency to place a spy in Barry Goldwater's campaign. That spy got advanced copies of speeches and other strategy, delivered that to the Johnson campaign. Would that be impeachable conduct, according to the other panelists?
Oh, well, it sweeps pretty broadly, so I assume so.
How about when President Johnson put a wiretap on Goldwater's campaign plane? Would that be for political benefit?
Well, I can't exclude anything under that definition.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with a few other presidents. We'll see where we go.
So I don't get
Deutsch
his point.
Just, informed us that FDR put country first.
He did.
Now, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he was president, directed the IRS to conduct audits of his political enemies, namely Huey Long, William Randolph Hearst, Hamilton Fish, Father Coughlin. Would that be an abuse of power for political benefit, according to the other panelists? Would that be impeachable conduct?
So he wants to go back through every past administration and dredge up all the heinous things they did. So I guess Ken Buck is saying two wrongs do make a right. If it was okay for them, it's okay for Trump.
Would that qualify as impeachable conduct?
Once again, I can't exclude it.
And how about when he directed the FBI to use wiretaps on congressional staffers who opposed him politically? Would that be impeachable conduct?
It would seem to be.
These people are just really difficult to listen to.
Let's go to Barack Obama.
Oh, boy. Okay. What did Barack Obama do?
When Barack Obama directed or made a finding that the Senate was in recess and appointed people to the National Labor Relations Board and lost 9-0, Ruth Bader Ginsburg voted against the president on this issue. Would that be an abuse
it's
of power?
It's a recess appointment, and they all do it.
It to others, but
they
I don't see any exclusions
do
under
it.
Their definition.
Okay, and how about when the president directed his national security advisor?
How about when George W. Bush lied us into a war? How about when George W. Bush tortured prisoners? Those are war crimes. Those are impeachable offenses. You want to talk about a president who should have been impeached? Let's talk about George fucking W. Bush. This is ridiculous. All right, I'm sorry. I've had enough of this. I'll tell you what. We have a guest coming up, and this is as good a time as any because this questioning of Mr. Buck of Colorado is nothing, nothing but bullshit, frankly. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. I've had enough of this for now. I will keep the window here. We can always go back to it when necessary. This is the problem with these 5-minute questions.
They're all grandstanding. They all want to just make their speeches and their statements. But I'm not going to listen to that. I'm sorry. So I'll tell you what we'll do is let's get David Bender on the line, shall we? Now, David Bender is the political director. He was the political director for Air America Radio. Remember Air America? And now he has that same position at the Progressive Voices Network. He also hosts the show Stand and Be Counted. Hold on, I need to just turn down this before I can bring up David Bender. Are you there?
I sure am.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I don't know if you've been listening at all. I tried to play some of the hearings, but every time these Republicans start asking questions, it just gets me too frustrated.
Jim Jordan has that effect. And I have to tell you and our listeners that my cable was interrupted. I kid you not, I can't make this up.
Uh-huh.
When Jim Jordan was railing about how the facts were entirely on the president's side, my cable had an emergency interruption that there was a child abuse alert in the state.
Oh my God.
And to be on the lookout. And, these things happen in cable companies. But isn't it ironic that happened when Jim Jordan was talking? There's something very bizarre about that.
It's one of those moments
when the universe aligns.
Exactly. Because if ever the cable is going to go out, it should happen while Jim Jordan is on. While he was on, I actually potted him down and I played a parody song just because I just couldn't. I can't do that to the listeners. So
Jumpin' Jim Jordan. Jumpin' Jim Jordan. He, I'll tell you what he said when you were playing the parody.
Okay.
When it came back on, he was talking about how there was one obvious fact. The president said there was no quid pro quo. Therefore, we have that evidence. The president said there was no quid pro quo. So it's done. Why are they making an issue out of it? And all I could think of is, wait a minute, let's see. There was a president once who said, I am not a crook.
Yes.
And when you say something, that doesn't make it true. And that's exactly their defense here. Trump says he didn't do it. Okay, he didn't do it.
Right.
It's done.
You know, he said, I am not a crook. He also said something else that Trump seems to parrot lately. This.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
Right? When the president does it, that means it's not illegal. That seems to be Donald Trump's mantra, right?
He absolutely... And Trump's parroting of that is saying, I've got Article 2. I can do anything.
Yeah, the president has hasn't read Article 2.
let's not talk about his reading habits. We know they're very limited. But
yes.
Have you been watching the wonderful Professor Carlin?
Oh, goodness. She's incredible. She's from Stanford. And so it just reinforces my feeling that the people in Stanford are really smart. She had a moment that is sure to go viral. You know, after these hearings, certain moments get replayed all over the place. I have a feeling
I bet I know what it is.
Yes.
Do you have it?
Yeah, I do have it. I have a feeling Fox won't be replaying this one. But she was insulted by ranking member Collins, who said something along the lines of, you're just law professors. You're not up on what's going on. You don't really have any, factual knowledge or anything to add here.
Nothing to bring to this.
Nothing to bring to this. And here's how Professor Carlin responded.
My review of the evidentiary record, and here, Mr. Collins, I would like to say to you, sir, that I read transcripts of every one of the witnesses who appeared in the live hearing because I would not speak about these things without reviewing the facts. So I'm insulted by the suggestion that as a law professor, I don't care about those facts. But everything I read on those occasions tells me that when President Trump invited, indeed demanded foreign involvement in our upcoming election, he struck at the very heart of what makes this a republic to which we pledge allegiance. That demand, as Professor Feldman just explained, constituted an abuse of power. Indeed, as I want to explain in my testimony, drawing a foreign government into our elections is an especially serious abuse of power because it undermines democracy itself.
She is so good. I thought
she is so good. And later on, and again, if you want to talk about a viral moment, she was asked, what's the difference between a president and a king? And she said, well, the president can name his son Baron. He can't make him a Baron.
Right. I flagged that.
And that will go viral.
Yes, absolutely.
At a certain point, and Nicole, I know you understand this because you're such an effective communicator. That's what has to happen. You need people who speak as Professor Carlin speaks, as the other professors have spoken. And even though I disagree with him, even Turley, who can communicate without ranting, with some degree of humor, but with clarity. Then we get the Republicans. Ugh. I'm looking on the screen right now. It's John Ratcliffe of Texas.
Oh, God.
I don't have to have volume on to know that he is going to do a monologue about absolutely nothing, although possibly Benghazi will come up. it's just absurd. And, Ian Esko, Theater of the Absurd, that this passes for governance. I am old enough to remember. I will fight you if you say I'm old enough to remember Andrew Johnson's impeachment. But I do vividly remember the ability for Republicans in 1974 to work across the aisle, 73 and 74, work across the aisle and really hold their country first over their party. That's
right.
Gone.
Right. And that ability just doesn't exist anymore. I see, and I'm not cutting Democrats any slack here. In many ways, they're just as, well, almost as bad as the Republicans. But Democrats will cross the aisle for a vote if they think their political lives depend on it. We've seen a couple of them make some, they're questionable Democrats, but we've seen them make some questionable votes. The Republicans are in lockstep on everything. I think all it's going to take is one of them to say, enough already. Why are we risking our reputations on this con man? Why are we doing this? It's like the emperor's new clothes. All it's going to take is one courageous person to stand up and speak the truth, and I think the floodgates could possibly open. I'm not saying will.
Something happened last night that's a bit of a mystery to me because it certainly hasn't changed anything. Trump was at NATO being insulted by other world leaders, and appropriately so. But in fact, Lindsey Graham got up and said, this Ukraine business is nonsense. Ukraine had nothing to do with hacking our elections.
Really?
1,000% Russia.
Wow.
Yeah. CNN reported it's been verified that he absolutely broke with the party line. And he must feel so secure with his Trump loyalty because he's, holding hearings on Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
That he feels he can get away. But he just absolutely pulled their whole, it was Ukraine, the false equivalency that we've been seeing of late.
Right.
He stepped away and did exactly what you said, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed, and nothing will change. I'm looking really, and we now know this is going to run for another couple of weeks. There will be multiple articles of impeachment. They will pass probably with only Justin Amash as a non-Democrat voting for
amazing.
Maybe a few Republicans. There are almost 20 that are retiring, but even Will Hurd and folks like that are
still playing his
game.
Line. Yeah, right.
So we know that's where we're going for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what happens in the new year, and what happens the president's attorney? Pat Cipollone, perhaps the only attorney who isn't facing indictment yet, went to the Senate today, met with McConnell and the group of senators, and they're planning the trial.
Right.
They're planning what's going to happen. And to me, if we're looking at this, actually with some eye to what an outcome could be, we know two things, Nicole. We know that things that are working their way through the courts, which may not reach them by Christmas, by the time this process is finished, may well have reached some resolution, like Don McGahn and everybody else, Bolton, et cetera, testifying, being required to. And they could testify at a trial in the Senate.
Right.
So the testimony we've been waiting for here might still wind up happening. Plus, there is one other variable that I've heard little talk about, but it's worth at least thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
John Roberts.
Yes.
A man who, say what you will about him. The reason the ACA, Obamacare, stayed in place is because John Roberts was thinking about his legacy.
That's right.
And he thinks about his legacy.
Yep. It's the Roberts Court.
He thought of,
right?
As a Trump person.
Right. And his name is on this court. He's not going to want his legacy to be about enabling con man Donald Trump. I agree with you. I every time I see a picture of him now, my heart skips a beat because I'm thinking this man could wind up being our hero. Inconceivable as it sounds, he could and he should to protect his own legacy.
Well, and this is something that, not being a constitutional scholar or an impeachment scholar, but I'm going to do a deep dive and find out if it's ever happened before.
Okay.
I remember when Rehnquist presided with Bill Clinton. I don't recall him doing much other than putting ornaments on his gown to look official. I mean, he dressed up like royalty.
Uh-huh.
That was his part in the process. But I do believe that the judge, the Chief Justice presiding over an impeachment trial, can call witnesses. Himself, this is to say, if he wants to hear from Rudy Giuliani, he can get Rudy Giuliani right there.
Right.
Even if the court itself has not yet said, or for some awful reason decides that they can withhold their testimony. The Supreme Court justice presiding over an impeachment trial can upend all of that.
Right.
I believe he has that power.
That's interesting. Because my question, one thing I don't know, and we're going to have to do a show on this, is the mechanics of how a Senate impeachment trial works. You know, I heard Kamala Harris say something, her response to Trump's, nasty tweet to her for when she withdrew from the race yesterday. And she responded very quickly. That's okay. I'll see you at your trial. Do the senators get to ask questions or are they merely silent jurors? Do you know?
Well, the way, and again, I'm doing some of this from memory.
Right.
There are people, and oddly enough, Adam Schiff has been one who, when there was an impeachment of a federal judge, Adam Schiff came from the House to make the case, so that there will be someone, and it may well be Adam Schiff, having done it, who will come over and then make the case for impeachment. And as I recall, a former Senator Dale Bumpers was Bill Clinton's other advocate.
Hmm.
So they spoke on behalf of Bill Clinton, and I believe Lindsey Graham was one of the people speaking against Bill Clinton from the House. The world has just spun around to see where Lindsey Graham is today. All you have to do is play those clips side by side.
Oh, yeah.
That said, I don't recall if the senators were allowed
either
to ask questions or how that worked. I don't know, but we should do a show on it and find out.
Absolutely. Yeah, because this is coming up, so we need to prepare ourselves. It'll be
January.
Awesome. Exactly. So, something else is coming up in January. We're speaking with David Bender, who's our political director of Progressive Voices. The Progressive Voices Network was also the political director at Air America Radio. Do you know we're coming up on a huge anniversary? January 21st. 2020 is not only the 10th anniversary of the Citizens United decision being handed down by the Supreme Court, but also the 10th anniversary of the day Air America Radio went off the air.
Yeah, that's not one of those that I tend to celebrate.
No, not at all. Because
There's so many things that were quite wonderful about that. We still have Rachel Maddow, thankfully.
She's still on TV,
five nights a week,
right?
And I'm personally extremely grateful for that. I will tell you, in those days, Nicole, it would be nice to, and Progressive Voices has succeeded Air America, and we are in a new era now where, as you know, radio has moved into streaming, and so there is an evolution. But Rachel, in those first few days after the nightmare that was 2016, November of 2016, she was the first person. And we did a lot of work together, and you know, I was honored to be a part of her show. She would refer to me as her political guru.
That's
tell you, she's
yours.
She's the guru now. And one thing she saw before anyone else, or very few, David Corn did it, and other Jones, was the degree to which Russia was involved in that election. And she talked about it literally by the end of that week. The election was on a Tuesday. By Thursday, she did an entire show about Russia. And talk about foreshadowing. She saw it. She understood it. And I have been working on that issue, you know, with a lot of advocates. And obviously, it was a lonely place to be back in 2017. No one believed it.
Right.
But now, you know, sweeping and systemic. And that anniversary, we're coming up on an election in less than 12 months, the anniversary of the last sweeping and systemic attack. And the question is, are they only better at it now?
Right.
Certainly they have been welcomed into the process. There's no one doing any real work that we can tell to make it harder. Mitch McConnell won't let even the simplest election safety bill through the Senate.
Which is
what's
astounding.
What's going to happen in November is my, you know, I'm concerned about.
Very good question. And, you know, Brad Friedman of Bradblog is a dear friend, and we need to get him on because I spoke to Brad the other day. I'm actually going to be filling in for him at the beginning of next week.
He was just on a show recently.
Yeah, right.
He is champion of election
protection. Of course, but he's worried like I've never heard him worried before, because it seems like there is nobody minding the store. There's nobody overseeing election security. The Trump administration just doesn't give a shit. They're just they have blinders on. They're okay with Russia meddling. They're now pushing this Vladimir Putin, I guess, originated story about Ukraine. Still, even after their Justice Department releases a report saying that Russia meddled, there's no there to this Ukraine nonsense. We had testimony last week. It's a hoax. We heard Fiona Hill say it's absolutely not true. This is something Vladimir Putin is pushing. You're echoing it, and then they go and echo it again, like that testimony
we now
never
Lindsey
occurred.
Graham, at least, coming to the fore saying it's ridiculous. But to the point, looking at someone that didn't commit the crime, while the person who committed it is not only planning to do it again, but has obviously been, you know, we know of at least five conversations that Putin and Trump have had without any record.
Yep.
There's no, all of that has been destroyed. The translator notes have been destroyed. What are they talking about? And you know, is it a coincidence that everything that has happened, Syria, you name it, any decision that this president has made that has implications for Russia winds up favoring Russia?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you'd have to be brain dead. And unfortunately, there appear to be a lot of people who are. And they don't listen to this program, but they don't listen to anything.
No.
They
Fox.
Simply
they listen
are
to Fox.
Following this blindly.
Right.
And that's frightening, Nicole, because it is so much different than just a political party. We all, you and I, had many conversations during the era of George W. Bush and thought it was horrible. And, and let's not get nostalgic for it. There were some very bad things that happened. But this is like discussing Scientology.
Mm-hmm. It is
you
a cult.
You can't have a rational discussion.
No. It's just like I used to marvel during the Bush years at how people would just, or actually during the Obama years, they wouldn't believe facts that were put in front of them. And their argument would be, I don't believe you. I don't believe that. You can't argue with someone who won't just admit to facts, that facts are facts. And so it's this alternate universe. I call it opposite world, where they have their own set of beliefs. They just won't accept common knowledge, basic accepted facts. They will not accept those basic facts. And so you're arguing, you can't argue with people who are not on the same plane as you. It's there.
Well, when I said Scientology, if you think of that as both a cult. Those who are in it call it a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are hearing something, and it's pretty much unashamedly so. I mean, when Rick Perry is saying it, when Franklin Graham is saying it, evangelicals, quite literally, this is not hyperbole, believe that Donald Trump is chosen by God to lead America.
Seriously, now, a misogynistic, racist, homophobe, sorry excuse for a human being. I mean, one of the more despicable people that I've ever come across. And this is who the religious right is holding up as their savior?
Well, they believe that God has chosen. I'm not making this up, would that I were, because it sounds so fantastic as to be. And I'm not being anti-Christian here. I'm merely saying that they believe that the Lord has chosen an imperfect vessel, certainly so, to be the vehicle to implement his will.
Wow.
And we know what that will is. That's end times.
Yep.
That's getting to the rapture. That's getting to an Armageddon that will happen in the Middle East. We understand this. And it sounds to people who exist in the secular world and talk about facts and don't think that the planet is 4,000 years old, it sounds incredible, and it's hard for us to wrap our minds around. But if that is your belief, if that is your core belief system, it is a fact. That is a fact to you,
mm-hmm.
not an opinion.
I guess.
That's a fact.
Right, right.
And so we do have alternate facts. And that's not, again, how do we peacefully coexist with those things?
I don't know. You know, I was as perplexed as I think most people were who saw Meet the Press on Sunday, and Senator John Kennedy, who bears no resemblance to his namesake, totally just, he bent over to let Trump do his business on him. He said, tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. He did it. He sold his soul, what, so he can win re-election? It just doesn't make sense. For those, I'm sure everybody heard it, here's just a few seconds of Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana losing his mind.
I think both Russia and Ukraine meddled in the 2016 election. I think it's been well documented in the Financial Times, in Politico, in The Economist, in the Washington Examiner, even on CBS, that the Prime Minister of Ukraine, the Interior Minister, the Ukrainian Ambassador to the United States, the head of the Ukrainian Anti-Corruption League, all meddled in the election on social media and otherwise. They worked with a DNC operative.
Did you
against the president? Can I make one more point, Chuck?
Sure.
Can I wait one more point?
Yeah.
In fact, in December of 2018, a Ukrainian court ruled that Ukrainian officials had violated Ukrainian law by meddling in our election, and that was reported in the New York Times.
Is there meddling?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No. Were you briefed by the intelligence?
I'm not going to keep. I could keep going, but he actually went on to say that the president of Ukraine was working for Hillary Clinton. And I mean, just going on and on about this stuff. And his evidence is, look, there have been stories printed in the press. We've spent the last 3 years listening to everybody on the right vilify the press, and anything that they print is fake news. But when it backs up their story, that's their evidence.
And it doesn't back up their story.
No, of course
not. He's making that up.
He's making it all up. He's making it all up. And I know he's not stupid. I think the man has a brain. So what could what could make him do this? Is it blackmail? Is it simply Donald Trump going around blackmailing him the way he tried to blackmail Zelensky?
That was true of Lindsey Graham, by the way.
Uh-huh. I thought so, too, that there were more than just pictures.
There is nothing that is more terrifying to an elected official than to look at polling numbers that say 85 to 90% of your voters. I mean, this is Kim Jong-un numbers.
Right.
These are, you know, when you win an election 99% to 1 and the 1% somehow disappears after the election.
Yep.
That's what Republican primaries are like. And to me, let me tell you my wish, Lawrence Tribe articulated this back in June. We've actually corresponded about it. I think the ship has sailed, but he had argued that once these articles of impeachment pass, which they're going to do now, that what should happen is there's one more step, Nicole, that has to be taken. The House has to vote to send them to the Senate so the trial can begin.
Right.
Doesn't have to. That vote does not need to be taken. Those articles can pass the House and sit on Nancy Pelosi's desk until she's ready, sort of Merrick Garland in reverse, until she's ready to send them. And if it were me, I would be saying, you know, all of you have said, Lindsey Graham famously saying, I'm not going to even read it. In what universe do you send over an indictment to judges who said they're not going to read the evidence? They've already made up their minds and they've said so publicly.
Right.
So what can change that? I'll tell you. What can change it is the calendar. It doesn't get there in January, but lands on the Senate chamber, and the Chief Justice announces the trial is beginning in September of 2020. All of the primaries are over.
That's right.
No Trump candidates can run against John Kennedy or any of the other Republicans. I don't think he's up, but Republicans were up next year, 23 of them.
Right.
They can't get challenged from the right.
Interesting. Yep.
Then they're going to be looking at independents and Democrats, and then they will cast a very different eye on that evidence.
Interesting. That's a great idea. And look, I don't agree with Jonathan Turley on much. God, I used to like him when he appeared with Keith Olbermann on Countdown. I don't know what happened to him, but he said something today,
moved a little to the right.
A little bit, but he said this. It's a 20-second clip, but something I really agree with him on.
Impeachments have to be based on proof, not presumptions. That's the problem when you move towards impeachment on this abbreviated schedule that has not been explained to me. Why you want to set the record for the fastest impeachment? Fast is not good for impeachment. Narrow, fast impeachments have failed. Just ask Johnson.
So I agree. I think it's too narrow. I think for them to put all their eggs in the Ukraine basket is a mistake. Not that anybody asked me, but this is a president who's guilty of so many impeachable offenses. Why the Democrats want to limit it when you have this, especially as obstructionist a group as today's Republicans are, why they would limit it. I don't know why they don't keep going, stretch it out till September, as you said, David Bender, and keep compiling charges and articles of impeachment.
I don't think they have to stretch it out. First off, I don't think it's going to be limited to Ukraine. The Mueller stuff will wind up being an abuse of power. It will be in broader elements. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Okay,
at all.
Good. I hope.
So we'll see what the final articles, 3, 4, 5 of them will be. But remember, the evidence can keep coming in, even if they don't have hearings. Schiff is still going to have hearings.
Right, yep.
I'm waiting for my new favorite person, Lev Parnas, to show up.
Oh, yes.
I'm loving me Lev.
We're all loving Lev these days, yes.
And we're loving Lev.
We want to see him raise his right hand and take an oath and spill.
And he sent over documents. Now just all we need is for him to show up himself.
Right. So this is far from over, right? And David Bender, great suggestion. Keep it going just don't send it over to the Senate until the Democrats are ready, and that'll be after primary season. I think that's
and then Republicans will be terrified.
Yeah.
Not of Trump, but of the general electorate.
All right. I like that. David Bender, we're just out of time for today, but hopefully we can keep checking in with you as this progresses.
Absolutely.
And
it's been a pleasure.
Have this discussion.
I get to go back to Matt Gaetz now.
Oh boy. Yes, me too. Oy. Thank you so much,
yep.
David Bender. We'll
my pleasure.
Hear you at progressivevoices.com, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you again.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Thanks, Nicole.
You take care. Thank you. All right. With that, we're done. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to keep the impeachment inquiry hearing going on the stream. So you can stay here. You know what? I'll even maybe keep it going on YouTube. But I got to sign off for Progressive Voices. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.